What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Fit for Life podcast. Today, I'm going to be going through all things sleep. So I'm going to cover 5 reasons why sleep is so important for us, and then also give you some tips to wind down before bed. So you've probably heard me say many times before how important it is to sleep 7 to 9 hours, especially if you're already working with me on the Anjuli Fit Squad for Fit with Anjuli. It is so important, and I really wanted to cover off why so that you can make it a priority. As I always say, it's going to vary based on the different times in your life. Life comes and goes in seasons, and that means we need to be okay with adjusting things to suit. For example, those of you that are new mums out there, it's just going to be about doing the best that you can. So please don't feel bad if you're not hitting your 7 to 9 hours a night, if you've got special circumstances. But for those of you that are keen to know why it's important and to implement some tips, this podcast is for you. So the first reason why sleep is so important for us is restoration. During sleep, this is when the body repairs and regenerates tissues and cells, and the brain consolidates memories and processes information, preparing us for the next day's activities. Especially if you are someone that is into resistance training, whether your goal is to lose fat or build muscle, we really need that time for our bodies to recover and repair our muscles. Number 2, physical health. Sleep is crucial for physical health as it helps regulate the immune system, maintain a healthy metabolism, and prevent cardiovascular diseases. So when it comes to regulating the immune system, sleep is something I always recommend for anyone that is sick. It is so important to rest and not to try and get into the gym and push through a form of sickness. Give yourself the rest that it needs, and if you feel up to it, go for a light walk, but stay out of the gym. You don't want to set anyone else back on their fitness goals by getting them sick too. Number 3, mental health. As you know, I am very big on mental health, and sleep plays a crucial role in regulating our mood, reducing stress and anxiety, and improving overall mental health. I always notice that after a poor night's sleep, I feel a little more moody throughout the day, and I know my hunger hormones are out of whack. So usually I have a lack of self-control around snacks, and I tend to be more hungry due to the changes in ghrelin and leptin, the hunger and satiation hormones. Number 4, cognitive function. Sleep is necessary for cognitive function, including attention, memory, and decision-making abilities. I definitely notice a lack in my decision-making abilities if I'm overtired. I find this happens when I'm on a comp prep, as I get leaner, as my calories get lower. The closer I get to show day, like the less decisions I want to make. I try and make things as easy for myself as possible. My attention completely goes out the window, so I find it very hard to focus on what someone's saying. And they do have a joke, you know, in the competing world called comp prep brain. This is where your memory kind of starts to lack as well as you get more hungry closer to show day. And it's silly things that I find myself doing, like I might put my phone in the fridge, or I might walk into a room and forget what I was doing there. Sounds kind of silly, but I guess once you go through it, you realize. And this can happen for anyone that is in a calorie deficit on lower calories for a long period of time. Number 5 is hormone regulation. So I briefly touched on this before. Sleep helps to regulate the release of hormones, including those that control hunger, growth, and stress. So we really want to make sure that we are getting in enough sleep, regardless of what your goal is. This is even just outside of a building muscle or fat loss goal. It is for general well-being and our mental health that we need to make sure we are getting enough sleep where possible. So once again, just to recap, sleep is essential for maintaining optimal physical and mental health, and it's important to ensure that you get enough high quality sleep every night. What do I mean by high quality, and how do we actually make sure that we're having high quality sleep every night? Well, if you're someone that works right up until bedtime, maybe you run your own business like myself, maybe you have a high stress job which requires a lot of overtime, and you find that you're working on the couch and then you get into bed and your brain is wired and you're not actually winding down before bed, you might find that it takes you a lot of time to actually get into a deep sleep. You might be lying in bed thinking about what you've got to do the next day, thinking about all the things you didn't do today, and your mind is just overthinking like a wild thing. I tend to overthink, so I wanted to share some tips with you to wind down properly before bed. These are some things that I personally have done, and I'll touch on a few of them in terms of what I like to do. especially if I find that my sleep is being impacted due to just working too much or overthinking. So the first thing is to establish a consistent bedtime routine. Try to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day to regulate your body's internal clock. So some people will ask me, how do you wake up early every day? And to be honest, Ross and I don't actually need an alarm to wake up in the morning. Usually our body clock will just wake us up. That is if our puppy Bronco doesn't wake us up first. Recently, he has been amazing at sleeping until 5 a.m. and then the alarm wakes us up. But Ross's body clock just wakes him up right before 5 o'clock every morning. I've been working a lot, so I've been a lot more tired, and I tend to, you know, sleep through an alarm if there is no alarm. Like, I'm not just waking up due to my natural body clock currently. But usually in the past, I would wake up at the exact same time every single morning without an alarm clock. But we are very routine at going to bed at the same time. So come 8 o'clock, I'm walking Bronco outside to get him to go toilet, and then he's into bed, then we're into bed, and I'm asleep by 8:30 at the latest usually. So that for us really works. And then we're up at 5 a.m. We're really aiming for about 8 to 8.5 hours sleep per night. The second tip is going to be avoiding screens before bedtime. This is something that I constantly have to work on, because sometimes I can get caught up in working and we'll be watching TV. I'll be working on the couch. We turn the TV off every night at 7:15 on the dot, and then we usually will do something to wind down. So I'll go outside in the fresh air and brush Bronco. It's summer here, so it's quite a nice temperature. Ross will head into the gym and do some foam rolling, or I'll do some laundry and chores around the house, which don't involve screens. If I do find that I'm on my phone before bed or I'm working before bed, I definitely take longer to drift off to sleep. So we want to avoid screens before bedtime as best as possible. The blue light emitted from electronic devices can interfere with the production of the sleep hormone melatonin. So try to avoid using electronic devices such as your, you know, phone, laptops, TV, at least an hour before bedtime. So to put things into perspective as to how Ross and I do it, 7:15, the TV goes off, and then we're usually in bed by 8:15. It depends on the night. Ideally, that's how things go down. But of course, there's going to be times in which you do need to work a little bit later if you are someone that runs your own business. It's just a case of kind of making a conscious effort to do these things. Number three, practice relaxation techniques. So everyone has a different way in which they like to relax. I've actually been finding brushing Bronco outside in the cool air a really nice way to wind down before bed. I find it really satisfying to get any knots out of his fur that he has. Other people might like meditation or deep breathing. I find meditation quite hard to do. My kind of meditation would be more so journaling, getting all my thoughts out of my mind. I like to color in when I'm on cog prep. It's something for me to do that doesn't really require a lot of focus. I can just kind of color in kind of adult pictures, and I find that quite helpful, like more complex coloring in ones, not just really big open spaces. It's more detailed kind of coloring in, which I quite enjoy. Some people might find that it's relaxing to stretch before bed. This can help reduce stress and anxiety and promote a calm and peaceful state of mind. Find what works best for you. Sometimes if I'm really stressed out at night and we get into bed, Ross has been known to do the same thing, in which we'll do some deep breathing as we drift off to sleep. So just making sure that we're breathing in and breathing out before bed. Ross also lies on a Shakti mat when he gets into bed first as well. So everyone has a different way in which they wind down. Those are just a few things that I like to do. So brushing Bronco, or if you've got a cat or a dog, just playing with them nicely can be calming. Deep breathing, coloring in, anything that doesn't involve a screen. Maybe it's that you want to do some stretching or foam rolling. Number four, creating a comfortable sleep environment. This is so important. How hard is it to fall asleep when you are super hot? I find it so hard in summer. It takes me back to when we had our one-bedroom apartment in Auckland. We had this apartment and it was tiny, and our bedroom would get so uncomfortably hot in the summer. And we had this fan that was maybe a cheap $30 or $40 fan that would blow in the room backwards and forwards. And if the fan's not on you because it's moving around, it was just way too hot. Found it really uncomfortable to sleep, and I just didn't sleep the best in summer when it was that temperature. So having a cool environment to sleep in is really helpful. If you find that your room gets really hot, then of course get something to help you cool down, whether it's a fan, whether it's that you keep a towel or a blanket in the freezer so that you can kind of lie it on you to help you get to sleep at night. Finding a way to cool down the room is really good. Now I'm very grateful that our room has aircon, so we actually have that turned on from 7:30 at night so that the room's cool when we get in there, and then it turns off automatically at some point in the night. I think maybe it might be like 10 p.m. Sorry. So yeah, that is a way that we make our sleep environment more comfortable. We also got a new bed, I think, 2 years ago now. So we've been in our new house for 2 years. The bed is so comfy and it makes a huge difference. It's a super king. So it means that Ross and I don't even have to touch each other in the night. We can sleep on opposite sides of the bed, and it has an aspect of that movement thing in the bed where we can't necessarily feel one another moving in the bed. Honestly, sometimes I think he still feels me moving around if I'm roly-polying all night, but otherwise having a really comfortable bed makes a difference. And this doesn't mean that you have to go and spend a whole lot of money on your bed. Our bed wasn't that expensive. It's the brand in New Zealand called Winkle, the one where they send you a mattress and it's like compressed in a box and then you open it out and it expands. That was the bed that we went for, and we got a bed frame from them as well. No, that's not sponsored. We actually paid for it. And then number 5 is avoiding caffeine and alcohol. So when it comes to caffeine and alcohol, having these things before bed are definitely going to impact your sleep. And I've had so many calls with VIP clients that have said, you know what, I can have a coffee at 8 p.m. and still go to sleep after. It doesn't mean that it's not impacting your quality of sleep. I personally don't have caffeine, any caffeine at all, after 12 p.m. and I next to never drink alcohol. Now, that's not to say that you obviously can't drink alcohol. Ross likes to have a beer or some wine here and there, and he does say that it impacts his sleep, but it's not something that he's doing all the time. So if you know that after having alcohol, you tend to sleep worse, might pay to, you know, take a break from having alcohol for a while if sleep and quality sleep is a priority of yours. It definitely would help if you have a fat loss goal to cut back on the alcohol, especially, you know, if you find that drinking alcohol leads you to making poorer choices with your nutrition, or if it leads you to having a bad sleep, which then results in your hormones being out of whack, which then results in the next day you eating something that doesn't align to your goals. So avoiding caffeine after midday could be a good start, maybe cutting back on the caffeine intake if you're having too much currently, and then also limiting your alcohol intake. Number 6, take a warm bath or shower. For me personally, I actually like to have a cold shower when I'm really hot before bed. I find that this cools me down and helps me sleep, but taking a warm bath or a shower before bed can also help to relax your muscles and calm your mind. Everyone's different, so in that aspect, it's going to come down to you recognizing which you prefer. Number 7, reading a book. This is kind of similar to me in terms of coloring in. I like to color in and wind down. Reading books doesn't really help me because I like to read self-development books. And if I'm reading a book about how to better myself, I then find that I'm thinking about all the things I want to implement and do. But some people quite like to read fictional books. So if you enjoy reading, you find that it relaxes you, you can read a book that kind of switches your mind off from everything else, then that can be really good to calm your mind and prepare your body for sleep. I like to read physical books. I don't like to read from screens. And of course, you want to be using a physical book instead of an ebook to avoid the stimulating effects of blue light. But I know these days there's so many different kind of reading things that you can get that don't necessarily use blue light. So whichever works for you, go for it. You might even find that you want to listen to an audio book, which would also work. Now, number 8, journaling. Writing down your thoughts, feelings, and any worries or concerns you may have before bed can help clear your mind and promote relaxation. This can go one of two ways. You either end up writing down your thoughts and your feelings and all the worries that you have, and you're like, you know what, it's written down, it's done, I can go to sleep peacefully now. Or you think of all the things in your mind, you write them down, and then they're on your mind when you go into bed. So this is going to be something that you need to realize what works best for you and what doesn't. For me, I like to have a to-do list for the next day so that I'm not lying in bed thinking about what I need to do the next day. I also like to journal at nighttime. I feel like it's a really nice thing to do to wind down for bed, because mainly I'm writing about good things, right? I'm thinking about the things I'm grateful for. I'm talking about how well things are going in life. If I am struggling with something in particular, it feels good to get it off my chest onto paper as well. And I am definitely a pen to paper kind of journaler. I don't really like writing on an app or, you know, typing it out. I find that when you put pen to paper, it just makes it feel a lot real. And that's the same way I write my goals as well. I feel like when it's right in front of you, you're more likely to, I guess, feel that it's real when it comes to writing goals down. So if you're someone that gets into bed and you think, oh, I've got to do this, this, that tomorrow, then writing down your goals can be a really helpful way to make sure, writing down your to-do list can be a really helpful way to make sure that that's off your mind before going to sleep. Lastly, I actually touched on creating the comfortable sleep environment, but I also forgot to mention that your pillow matters. The other night, I decided to try my new pillow, which I hadn't used because I thought it was too firm. And I've been using this really crummy pillow for a while, both of which have my And Julie Silk pillowcases on them, because I find that is so nice to rest my face on after a long day. But anyway, I used this other pillow and I slept for the longest I have slept for in years. I slept for 10 hours. I could not believe it. I actually felt really lazy after doing that. But anyway, I slept so much better with a good pillow. So not only does a mattress matter, but also your pillow. And one more thing I think helps to create that comfortable sleep environment is trying to make it as dark as possible. I have And Julie Silk sleep masks. So if you want them, you can send me a message on Instagram. But to be honest, when we go to bed at 8 p.m., it's summer in New Zealand. It is still daylight outside. It's very hard to make it dark if you're not using a sleep mask. So those are just a few tips to help you wind down for bed and some reasons why sleep is so important and why I talk about it so much. I cannot stress the importance of it for overall well-being, but also if you are someone that has fat loss goals this year. And of course, once again, if you are a new mom or a new puppy mom and you're struggling to get in sleep, please don't worry about it. Just do the best that you can. Get sleep when you can and be kind to yourself. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. I hope that it helped at least one of you out there. I'll catch you in the next episode.